tensions are rising again on the Korean Peninsula. North and South Korea fired ballistic missiles this month. And at the UN General Assembly this week, South Korea's President Moon Jae-in called for new talks with the North and the United States. Here he is speaking through a translator.
I call for a speedy resumption of the dialogue between the two Koreas and between the United States and North Korea. I hope to see that the Korean Peninsula will prove the power of dialogue and cooperation in fostering peace.
President Moon also urged an official end to the Korean War. Back in 1953, it concluded with an armistice ceasefire. Let's bring in Here and Now security analyst Jim Walsh. She's with the Security Studies Program at MIT. And Jim, the two Koreas promised to denuclearize in 2018, and now we're here. What's the latest in the nuclear activity?
Well, Scott, in North Korea, the program, their nuclear program, has moved forward in fits and starts. Recently, there's been some open intelligence indicating activity near some of their nuclear facilities. They have lots of nuclear facilities. I wouldn't say it's been dormant, but it hasn't been going gangbusters either. It's you know, this COVID period has been a slow period, especially since we've had a moratorium on nuclear tests. I would say its missile program has made progress more rapidly, more broadly, in the type of missile and its capability. Now, as for South Korea, it has no nuclear weapons. It did have a nuclear weapons program back in the 70s, which it abandoned. And more concerning, though, has been what's happened in recent years. First on the fringe, then increasingly loudly, there are voices in South Korea that want access to U.S. nuclear weapons to have them stored on the Korean Peninsula, or even their own arsenal, as that's been an argument in some cases. And that is reflected in the current presidential debate where you hear that topic being discussed.
Well, let's talk more about South Korea. In May, the U.S. lifted restrictions to let Seoul build up their ballistic missiles, and that did happen. So why now is the South Korean president now pushing for negotiation here?
Well, Moon has always had two big pieces to his foreign and securities policy. The one that we always hear about in the U.S. is his desire for a diplomatic resolution to the North Korean issue. You know, he's sort of the person who jump-started the talks that Trump eventually that eventually turned into those summits. But less noticed piece of his agenda is to build the military capability of South Korea and advance its status as a fully sovereign actor. Now, people in the U.S. sometimes forget that in many ways, the U.S. still holds essentially what is a veto power over certain aspects of South Korea's defense forces. And those missile limits that you referred to have been in place for years and years and are an example of that. So Moon has simultaneously advocated for peace, but also built the military. And the question is whether those two things complement each other or do they contradict each other? And you can imagine scenarios in which either might be true. So maybe a South Korea missile buildup will force North Korea to bargain on missiles. On the other hand, it could deepen the animosity and suspicion on all sides, or maybe the South Korean leaders will discover that they like having missiles and want to hold on to them. And meanwhile, Japan will be freaking out seeing that both Koreas, not just one, are developing missile capability. So I don't know how it's going to work out, but Moon has consistently been pro-diplomacy with North Korea and pro-military, pro-sovereignty for South Korea.
Now, how about diplomacy on the North Korean side? Many of us remember President Trump met Kim Jong-un back in 2018. But now with all this going on, what are the chances North Korea will agree to come to the table now?
Well, we just don't know. It's one of those things you probably don't know until it actually happens. And the trick is to be prepared for that opportunity when it comes. We've had a deep freeze for a couple of years now, more or less coinciding with COVID. I think things are probably starting to move into the warm-up stage. That's why we're seeing more missile tests. And I expect over the next several months that will pick up, depending on COVID and the economy. But we don't know when that point's going to come where they say, let's talk, but we got to be ready when they do.
Well, and speaking of COVID and the economy, North Korea has been hit hard by the virus. It shut down its critical border with China. That's its economic lifeline. And that prompted a deep crisis of food shortages. So can the U.S. or the other actors make a humanitarian appeal to Pyongyang and say, you know, this is for the people here. You should come to talks sooner rather than later?
You know, I think so. A lot of it is how you frame it. But the logic of that has the virtue of simplicity. If COVID is what North Korea is most concerned about and they want vaccines, then we should be able to have a conversation with them about that. I mean, it's humanitarian aid after all. They can't use the vaccines to build nuclear weapons. And eventually everyone's going to have to get vaccinated, hopefully, and that includes North Korea. So I think it might be an interesting place to start.
All right. And it's very, very quickly, North Korea blasted this newly announced partnership between the U.S. and Australia to share cutting-edge submarine technology. Could this create more tension in the region? This, of course, is also China's neighborhood.
Yeah, I think people, my colleagues and others, are as worried about this as I've heard them talk in recent years. You've got a lot of loose talk about U.S.-China competition and Cold Wars, and then you've got North Korea, a growing South Korean military, which is going to freak out Japan, as I said, and Taiwan added to the mix, an issue that wasn't even around 6 years ago. So we're not there yet. We're not in a missile race, an arms race, but we could get one if we're not careful, which is why you just can't stand pat. You got to be ready to advance practical agreements as aggressively as you build weapon systems.
Jim,
so both things
got to run,
work.
Jim. Thank you, Jim. Jim Walsh of the MIT Security Studies Program. Thanks very much.